Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. Santa Clara County, California is set to be one of the first counties in the U.S. to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Doses will arrive as soon as today. From member station KQED, Sarah Husseini reports.
Santa Clara County was home to the first known victims of the coronavirus in the United States. It's now poised to receive among the first shipments of the new Pfizer drug, thanks to its large ultra-cold storage capacity. County testing and vaccine officer Dr. Marty Fenstersheib says skilled nursing facility staff will get the first of two shots starting later this week, about 6,000 people.
We certainly don't want them all coming at once in case anyone ends up with some of the mild side effects. So we'll do a portion, then a portion, a portion, and we'll get them all vaccinated, hopefully, in the next few weeks.
The remaining nearly 12,000 doses will go to a fraction of staff and hospitals in the county. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Husseini.
Members of the Electoral College are to meet today in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. They're to formally cast their ballots for president and vice president based on the popular vote in each jurisdiction. President-elect Joe Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris won 306 electoral votes. President Trump and Vice President Pence won 232. A 29-year-old man was arrested Saturday in Washington, D.C. for allegedly stabbing four people during a pro-Trump rally. Hannah Schuster from member station WAMU has more.
D.C. police say that around 9 p.m., a fight broke out among several people. They say 29-year-old Philip Johnson stabbed four people. The victims were taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Johnson was one of at least 33 arrested during the demonstrations, which also saw other fights and right-wing demonstrators destroying Black Lives Matter signs from historic black churches. It was the second time since the election the president's supporters had rallied in Washington. A stabbing was also reported during the pro-Trump demonstrations last month. For NPR News, I'm Hannah Schuster in Washington.
The Georgia State Supreme Court has rejected a lawsuit from the Trump campaign and state Republicans seeking to overturn the state's presidential election results. For member station WABE, Emil Moffitt reports.
Lawyers for President Trump and the Georgia GOP have continued to claim without proof that massive voter fraud led to Joe Biden's victory in the state. When the lawsuit was originally filed in early December, it was rejected by the Fulton County Superior Court because the paperwork was wrong and the filing fees were missing. Biden's narrow 11,700-vote win in the presidential contest in Georgia was confirmed by a statewide hand recount of the ballots, followed by a separate recount conducted by Scanner. For NPR News, I'm Emil Moffitt in Atlanta.
You're listening to NPR News. The FBI and the Department of Homeland Security are investigating the hacking of federal computer systems, including at the Departments of Treasury and Commerce. The attacks were disclosed days after a national security agency warned that Russian government hackers were exploiting vulnerabilities in a system used by the federal government. David Cornwell has died. He was better known as Jean Le Carré, whose thrillers set during the Cold War and after defined the genre. His literary agent announced his death on Twitter. He was 89 and died in Cornwall, England. NPR's Rose Friedman has this remembrance.
The Spy Who Came In from the Cold, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, George Smiley, Control, Carla, John le Carré's books and his characters practically invented the genre of the conflicted spy novel, dealing in the gray areas between right and wrong, questioning the very causes the spies were fighting for. Le Carré told WHYY's Fresh Air in 2017 that he also questioned the premise of the Cold War.
There were many decent people who lived in communist territories who weren't as bad as one might suppose.
Le Carré came to writing after a short career in British intelligence. He wrote more than 20 books, including a memoir. Rose Friedman, NPR News, New York.
Multiple news outlets are reporting the owners of the Cleveland Indians baseball team have decided to change the name after years of protests by Native Americans and others who say the name is racist and insensitive. The decision, first reported by the New York Times, could be announced as soon as this week. It's not clear if a new name has been selected. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.